Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hypothetically, Pony,
yes.
You know, we always talk about like new stadiums and how they get more expensive. If you tried to build a stadium in New York City proper, one of the five boroughs for both teams.
The Jets wanted to.
How much money would that cost now? Like $5 or $6 billion?
They had it ready to go and one guy voted it down. It came down to one dude and he said no.
The power of one vote.
And the scuttlebutt, not to get in the weeds here, was that the Knicks and Rangers owner, Dolan, was like the guy behind the scenes who...
Pressuring.
Put the kibosh on it.
Because he wants Madison Square and that whole like kind of thing to himself.
But the Jets wanted their own stadium in the city and the Giants were going to stay...
In East Rutherford?
Yeah, where the Meadowlands and Giants Stadium was back in the day.
James Dolan, the lead singer of JD and the Straight Shot Band? That guy? That man?
We are going to hear from Cam Hayward because these clips have gone viral. He broke a 24-day silence today. Practiced, listed as a full participant on the Steelers injury report. So yesterday really was a veteran day off thing. But some of the clips that have kind of squeaked out here and come out that have come out here have not really made this look like a situation where Steelers fans' concerns have been put to bed for Sunday. So let's hear from the man himself, Cam Hayward, with Richie Walsh and others just a few minutes ago.
Cam, you gonna play on Sunday?
No, I'm preparing. You know, still got some time, but we'll see.
You optimistic things will get worked out here in the next couple days?
I wish I could be more optimistic, but you know, just trying to stay in the moment. And, like, you know, I don't have all the answers. So, you know, it's more of me just waiting and seeing what can happen.
This has been a frustrating process for you.
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. You know, I thought this could be a lot easier, but it's gotten dragged on. And, you know, luckily it hasn't affected my teammates. But, you know, it's probably good.
You weren't. Have there been any actual talks?
There has. You know, I can't really divulge what's going on, but, you know, there's been communication on both sides. And we'll see what happens.
Do you feel like if something were not to get worked out by Sunday, that maybe it could in the future? You know what I mean? Is that something that you've considered?
You know, just going off a precedent, it's never been something where they like to touch contracts in season. And, you know, that's a assumption I've always gone off. If something's different, you know, so be it. But I don't make those calls.
You were going to say something, Mulsey?
Yeah, there's just a little Easter egg, maybe. I mean, you and I try to become pros at reading between the lines and finding maybe a hidden, not agendas, but like a hidden telltale clue. When he said, luckily it hasn't affected my teammates yet, kind of makes me think he's not going to carry this out to the nuclear option. Not just, there's a lot of other reasons. Nick Faribault gave us a good summation of why it would be kind of messed up for him to start sitting games.
Because he cares about them so much and doesn't
because
want their season.
Because on some level there is a genuine, I don't want to be that guy.
I think that's right. I also hear, in his voice that this has taken a toll on him big time.
I have a theory on that too. If you'll allow. Okay. I think he just says, I thought it would be a quicker process. I really believe this is how he felt like it would go. I had a first team all pro year. I was awesome. The Steelers love me and I love them. I only want to play for them. I'm the Walter Payton man of the year. This is going to be very simple. I go to them quietly. They front me this amount of money, not all of it, but some of it. We say, thanks. This was great. We love working with you. You love working with us. I go and have another baller year, and then we readdress it maybe with a new contract because I'm the Tom Brady of defensive linemen. Seriously, I think that's how he thought it would go.
And I think he felt that way.
He felt surprised.
Even when he showed up at training camp, he wasn't freaking out yet, and he thought it would happen shortly
after. Maybe they were just dragging their feet. They didn't feel like it was urgent, but it was going to happen. And I think he's been blindsided at least a little bit by the fact that they have kind of said, no, even business with you is business as usual for us.
His agent and Cam clearly think that they only have 48 hours to get this done. You just heard it in that last answer. He doesn't think this is something that they would take into the season, that they would not make an exception for him or
he said they
amend
don't touch
their policy.
Contracts. Yeah, he said they don't touch them. Like, we all thought, like, well, this isn't writing up a new contract, it's moving money, but I think he went broad-based there and said they just won't touch anything that has to do with the deal.
Cam, you weren't practicing for a little bit. You were kind of having a hold-in during training camp, return mm-hmm. to practice. What was kind of the thought process in returning to practice, participating in all of that?
It's not like I wasn't just not doing anything. There was me on the sideline, still staying ready. Some of it was by design because, like, he was trying to get me out of periods. But, as we got closer, I still have to be ready for the season. Whether I'm on the field or not, I like to make sure I'm well prepared in case we do have something.
Last time you talked to us, you said you told them kind of at the table last time you're going to come back and be an mm-hmm. all-pro. Did you have an opportunity to put incentives into that deal? Or no?
No.
Is that part of the frustration related to this?
Not a lot of players have gotten incentives over here. A lot of it is stemmed from just quarterbacks. There's different ways to handle the situation. I'm all for proving it. I'm not running away from it. My career has always been about proving it, and it was that route. I'd go for it, but got time. See what happens.
That is one thing that I think he's gotten, and his agent especially, have gotten hammered on. That I do think he's telling the truth on. When he came out and told his story at training camp, and tried to describe what went on, there were a lot of people, and I would put myself in this category too, who said, why didn't the agent just put something about the all-pro season into the contract that didn't trigger a renegotiation, but actually gave him money? Okay, if I have an all-pro season, will you pay me an extra $5 million?
You give me this.
And I agree with this. I think he asked for it and they said no. And when they said no, their response was, okay, well, we're going to go have that season anyway. Mm-hmm. And then just to let you know, we don't want to play on this contract.
I guess honestly, what I would have said though is, if they said no to that and you felt pretty strongly about it, then you just play the deal. You say, you know what, let's back away from the table, and if we'll just talk next year. If you even want to talk. If I have a bad year, you're not going to want to talk. If I have a great year, you might not want to talk because you might not want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that was a consideration. I think Hayward probably thought, if I have a long-term deal, even if the years aren't guaranteed, it'll give me some peace of mind and stability, and I'll play better because of it. Even if it's not the deal I like, just knowing that I have more years on it and I'm not totally singing for my... I can't believe I'm going to project myself onto him, though, but I think that might have been a psychological aspect to not just playing out the year. Nerves associated with, oh man, I've got no safety net now. Mm-hmm. If I don't have a good year, I'm done.
I just want this in the back pocket.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
No, I think that's been the case from the start, and there is some signer's regret here on his part.
Is it as simple as something needs to be done before Sunday, whether you play or not, or are there other decisions you have to make or other factors, or is it pretty much, this gets done, I'm playing, if it doesn't, I'm not?
I wish I had a straight answer for you right now. All I can tell you is I've had to have a lot of tough conversations with my family.
Knowing that they don't negotiate touch contracts in season, mm-hmm. nothing gets done on Sunday, does that affect your participation or your availability the rest of the season if nothing happens?
I don't want to have to think about that. I'd like to be, think cooler heads prevail and we move forward. But if it does get to that, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What gives you confidence, Cam, that this wasn't a distraction?
Because everybody's gone about their business. I've still interacted with every guy on this team the way I usually do. I've tried to prepare the other guys that play next to me or play behind me that, you know, if there's opportunity, they'll be ready.
Faribault, when he was on with us last hour, said he thought if Hayward sat out Sunday's game, it would actually turn him into persona non grata in that locker room, and that he would have a hard time fighting back and getting like credibility and respectability back with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And to this point, he isn't fighting that battle yet, because I think he has a lot of like empathetic figures, including Watt, especially in that locker room. Mm-hmm. On defense, I don't know about the offense. Rodgers and Metcalf, I thought, were a little weird with him on the podcast, but that might just be like Rodgers' personality.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is something that I hadn't thought about until Nick brought it up. Would he risk alienating them and losing them? And is that part of this like difficult conversation game he's playing? Because we did see this with Le'Veon Bell. Like, everybody thought the Bell thing, the conversation sounded until we got to this point. What year was that? 2018?
Yes, 2018.
Everybody was saying, it'll get done. And then it didn't.
And then like everything then turned on a dime.
Yes. And it, like, not just with fans.
F this guy from his teammates. Right. The O-lineman said
right.
stuff.
Right. So would it be similar? Like, everyone's...
I do think there would be
tacitly, quietly in Cam's corner right now, letting him handle his business. But all of a sudden, as a captain, if he's not there...
Yeah, I think that it would be similar. I think it would be similar. And you might say, well, was Bell coming off a great season? Yes.
Yes.
Like, the only difference between the two is obviously Cam, as I think, conducted himself as a Steeler on and off the field, like, better than Bell did. Well, maybe not better on the field. At Bell's best, he was spectacular, but off the field for sure. And I still just don't think that would get him very far. What's the old saying? A Walter Payton Man of the Year award and $1.70 will get you a coffee and a bagel or whatever. Like, I just don't think that carries much water or weight with his teammates even at that point. Definitely not with the fans.
Difficult of a decision because you are such a team guy. We all know you to be that person.
Yeah. Definitely out of my comfort zone. I'd rather not be talking about this, focusing on the Jets and, not having, a million things run through my head. But, I said it earlier to somebody, heavy is a head that wears a crown. And, it's not me, being boastful, but if I'm willing to talk about it, I got to be willing to deal with, that. And I'm not running away from it.
Have you been surprised at all about the public reaction to your situation, Cam?
There's loud voices and, everybody has an opinion. But... I can't control that. If how I work, how I play, that's all that matters. I have to make a decision for my family. This is a business. I cannot play this game forever. Just like I'm maximized on the field, I want to be maximized outside of it, and I want to be taken care of that way. It's not being greedy. It's, it's just the way this game is.
Stop it real quick.
Not for long. NFL. So, I would tell every guy, maximize your opportunities and keep going from there.
All right. There's two things, and I am on his side ultimately. I think he deserves more money. And I think if he does not put the part in about, I've got to make the right decision for me and my family, I think just being very blunt and saying I try to maximize what I do for the team on the field.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to maximize it off the field. And I would tell any guy that, I'd be like, hell yeah, great advice.
Uh-huh.
I do think this is where the scales of money that we are talking about does warp a statement like, I've got to watch out for my family. Like, I've got to make the best decision. He has made 9 figures in his career. I don't care how much of that goes to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He has made a lot of money. And so even though I support, like, absolutely the principle of,
yeah,
you give max effort on the field, you expect max compensation that you can realistically get off of it. When you are talking to, and he knows this, rank and file fans who make maybe $60,000 a year or whatever.
Yep.
Right? Who are clipping coupons, doing things a lot of people do. That part about it is going to fall on deaf ears whether he wants it to or not.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it the way that you just said it. I think what he meant by that is not like, I got to set my family up.
He already has. I think he meant it in principle, not in literal terms in that sense.
What I think he meant was, I play a pretty dangerous sport for a living.
True.
And setting my family up means like, am I willing to sacrifice my body and what could happen to it for another year at this price? And he's having a hard time reconciling that. I mean, I've talked to so many guys. I mean, heck, I do a podcast with Patrick Peterson, who I think would fall into this bucket. Guys get to a point when they're in their 30s where they've made a lot of money and they're set. And can they justify playing a violent sport for money that they're accustomed to making a lot more than?
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, that probably is exactly what happened with him this week.
Well, I don't think there's any probably about it. I can't imagine what else it would be. If he was getting paid, if somebody said, you're still a $20 million player, he's probably playing right now. He took an incentive-laden small deal.
Same thing with Robert Woods. He's probably like, I'm not used to making what practice squad guys make. It's not worth it for me anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And like Aaron Donald made that decision, but he made it in a way that everyone was cool with. He let everybody know in advance that it was probably going to happen, and then he walked away because he was financially set and his legacy was set. Other guys, it's been more complicated. Andrew Luck's an example of that. Andrew Luck just got to a point where he said, you know what? Like, I don't want to
rehabbing from all these injuries and doing all this. I don't need it. I don't want it anymore. And the timing ended up being the thing that was way different.
Everyone will point to TJ Watt and say, that dude went out there after a hold-in and killed the Bills and was the Steelers' best player. And Mike Tomlin called him an alien afterwards. If Hayward does not get more money and plays, I don't expect him to play well at all. Because
you can hear how much it distracts it. I think it hurts him. I think it hurts him that the team that he probably feels like, maybe I have a slightly different relationship. I've been here for so long. We've been through a lot together, me and the team. I think he probably feels like, come on, they'd be a little different towards me. And if he realizes on some level, nah, like I'm just another guy ultimately at the end, no matter how good I've been, I think that would hurt him.
His head's not in the right place with this. Clearly, or right place in air, like meaning it's Friday. You should be thinking about the team you're going to play and doing everything you can to get ready for them. He's practicing because he needs to keep his body in shape. His mind doesn't sound like it's where it needs to be.
The only way that it goes the other direction is if he doesn't get it and he is just like, I'm going to rage out and be Incredible Hulk guy on the field. But like, you know what though? You know what my brain would tell me real quick? If I rage out and play phenomenally well with no new money, all I'm really doing is helping the people, the owner,
that I'm ticked
who didn't
off at.
Want to give me any more money.
Yep. You said you've had your interactions the same with teammates. Did you address it openly? Does somebody ask you anything? Or is it just you don't have to deal with
it? I've addressed it openly with my teammates. I never wanted it to be a distraction or them to think otherwise. You know, if they've had a question, they've been able to contact me. And you know, we've had formal talks about it. But every teammate in here knows how I feel.
What's been the most difficult part of this entire process for you?
Honestly, the most difficult part, I think, like, less about me and more about, like my brother. Like, the dude has nothing to deal with this situation and has gone about his business the right way, but he just gets dragged along, and I'm a big boy. I can handle what comes my way. But when people start questioning what he does on the field, there's a brother in me, there's a teammate in me, and that's not anything he should have to answer for. I'm all for taking whatever heat I get for it, but it's. I just think it's unwarranted to someone who has no control over a situation.
I agree with him on that. I think that's probably his best answer so far, because that is BS. I mean, look at what Aaron Rodgers has said about Connor Hayward in training camp in the preseason. He's raved about the guy. Now, maybe it's a little bit of sunshine and rainbows. Got quarterbacks do that with receivers and tight ends and build them up this time of year. But I don't think he's on the roster just because he's Cam Hayward's brother. I'm not saying he's any great player or anything like that. But based on where they picked him, sixth round, the amount of money he's making, not much, and what he does on special teams, he's legitimately earned his spot on the team. He's not here to just, you know, be the guy's caddy and friend and get him coffee and donuts when he wants. Like, he's an NFL player.
He's 10 years younger than Cam. Cam probably has a lot more in common with older veterans on the team than he does with his own brother. Like, as far as, I mean, I know he's his brother, you know what I mean, but like.
But it has gotten so ugly where people just say cut his brother to piss him off.
So that part bothers me mainly because, like, I get that making the kind of money these guys make, a certain amount of, like, ugliness, whether, you know, you think it's warranted or not, and I don't, just does come with the territory. But man, like, some of the people saying that or like really going after his brother personally, it's a lot of internet muscles there, I think. And it's a lot of, would you actually say this stuff anywhere near the guy to his face? And you wouldn't. And I think that always struck me as very weak. It's just people pot-shotting his brother because there's no repercussions to actually doing it.
Cam, beyond just money, how much of this is just about the respect that comes with being one of the top paid players in your position?
I think it comes to that. When you look at the situation, it's a unique situation. A lot of guys don't play late through the 30s, especially at my position. And then you look at what happened these last 2 years. I was hurt the 1 year, came back and gutted it out. Did I have my best performance? No. And through that, there was a motivation there to, you know, try to get something done. But all was hammered to me was, I'm damaged goods. And I used that as motivation, and I had one of my more productive years. And, you know, there's not anything guaranteed in my contract. They could cut me now, and, you know, they could have cut me right after the season, and it wouldn't affect them. So there's give and take on that. And this is a business. Like, if I can't talk openly about it, and I had to, you know, work through this with myself, and I know I haven't been as forward about this stuff because I've just been trying to work through answers and questions, but, you know, it's something that I've had to think about.
Last two for Cam.
Your relationship with the organization, be it Art, Omar, whoever it is, is that strained now? Is it going forward? Are you worried about that? Is it just business and eventually it'll be go back to old or what?
I have a lot of respect for the Steelers and the organization. They got to run a business too, and they have to protect themselves. They have to do everything possible. But I like to think my track record speaks for itself. When I'm out there, I represent this team. When I'm off the field, I represent this team. I just hope it doesn't put a strain on.
Do you feel like you're the normal amount of prepared that you would be going into a week one at this point?
You know, I've studied enough film. Nowadays, it's more or less what a team has done in the past. It's more what they're going to do to me. But I'm always prepared for every outcome.
I think his body's ready. I do not hear a guy that is emotionally or mentally ready to play on Sunday. If he's out there with no contract, I would be stunned if he like delivers a vintage Cam Hayward performance.
Yeah, I would be too at this point. I mean, then again, he's made a pretty nice career in his 30s about out of being doubted and then exceeding expectations, but I do think this is pretty different.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.